With me on the phone is the incredible musician and person, Kim Gucci. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, hello there. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Good. I was wondering if maybe we could start off with a little introduction about yourself, and if you could speak a little bit about you and your music.
Well, my name is Kim Gucci, and I am a member of the Great Lakota Nation, which is also known as Prince George, a member of the Great Lakota, which means people from the confluence of two rivers. I also have Squatnik ancestry on my mother's side, which is also called Shuswap, and Cree on my father's side. But I'm also of European descent. And I create from those points of origin.
Thank you. And would you like to talk a little bit about this new album that you're working on?
Sure. I received a Canada Council grant recently, and of course had to make some amendments due to COVID.
Yeah.
But we're still, yeah, that part's been really strange and unusual, but I'm starting to really appreciate everything that is taking place within our government and within our arts community to help support us, and to just still create space for musicians and artists to practice. So I'm feeling super, super grateful. It's a grant that we actually had applied for 3 different times, so on the 4th time we finally got it. So,
oh, great.
All of you artists out there, never give up. You just got to fine-tune it and talk to granting officers and find out just what it is that needed to be tweaked, and just believe. And hopefully one of these times it will be the right one. But we also got to realize that as a juror myself, I know that there's some incredible grants that come across the table and you only have so much money to be able to give out. So it's such a difficult process. And
mm-hmm.
I've received like multiple recommended statuses from grant applications, which meant that it was a really good grant, but it didn't quite, you know, but we ran out of money basically.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's a grant that is allowing me to explore and create and write songs in my Indigenous languages that just pay tribute to my ancestors and but engage children. And it's really a children's music album, but it also is for everyone. And it's basically going to be my creative process, and it's been challenging with COVID, I'm not gonna lie, because of the traveling part of it and just the discouragement from traveling. But for me personally, and maybe many other artists who create in this way, like, I have to be on the land. And so if I'm gonna write songs about my Squatnik roots, I'm going to need to be on the land when I'm writing those songs. And if I have to go and, you know, get a cabin somewhere, that's what I'm going to do within those territories. And, I mean, I do live in the Great Lakota on my traditional territory, so I'm flooded with ideas and songs. And I even actually have one song that's written that is... you know, when you think about children's songs, you kind of think about melody. You think about little hooks in the melody. You think about repetition and just simplicity is what I'm going for. And just being able to be creative with that. So I'm so excited that I do have actually a couple of songs that have come to me. And then they will be brought to my producer on the project and the, oh, what will we call Ray? Managing the project and producing the project. Ray also helped to write the grant for the project, so they're involved right from the start. So yeah, when I get these little clips and ideas and I send them along to Ray so that Ray's keeping track of them and making notes, and already, you know, like just the development of, like, you know, the arrangement and the instrumentation and stuff, we can already start
That's awesome.
Talking about it. So That's super exciting. It's definitely a project that is just going to be like a fluid kind of like moving with the times and being mindful of what's happening in the world as far as, you know, with COVID and knowing when to like, you know, stay still for a while and wait until things are safe and then carry on again. But then we also have the support of the World Wide Web and the internet. And I've chosen three language keepers who are very knowledgeable with using the internet and say a cell phone or an iPad or a computer. So they're available to me anytime I need to reach out to them. So that part's pretty sweet too. Just managing the timeline and making sure that everything's lining up and keeping an eye on what's happening as far as regulations go with travel, mm-hmm. and being able to be within the territories of my ancestors, I think is really going to be very influential in what it is that I create.
That's great. I definitely have noticed in a lot of your other songs that you've produced that there's this really big theme of connection. So I can see how important it would be for you to have to be in those places that you're talking about and taking inspiration from.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And my music is informed by the land and by the people and by the situations that are going on within it at the time. So I'm very aware of that, and I don't want COVID or anything to hinder that creative flow.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you hope kids are going to take away from your new album?
I'm hoping that the music is going to be, you know, fun, danceable, engaging, that will pique their interest in wanting to learn more about Indigenous culture and to be able to learn a few words. Especially my grandchildren, I would love for them to be able to learn how to say certain phrases, whether it's a hello or a thank you or to count, because mm-hmm. there will be definitely number songs and animal songs and just the very basics, like I never say never, but in my mind's eye right now, I will never be a fluent speaker of any of my Indigenous languages. So this to me is honoring that and what was taken from my family through the residential school and me reclaiming it in the best way that I can. And that is through song and through children's songs, because I would have to start from that very, you know, one entry level, and I want children to be able to understand that there are many different languages in the world, and maybe inspire them to learn from any culture, from any language group, how to say, you know, how to count to 10 or how to say dog in the language. Like, I'll give you an example which is definitely going to be translated into a song, is in Cree, Akim is dog, and in Cree, Mistatim is horse, which literally translates to big dog.
That's wonderful.
yeah. So I just find that fascinating, and so I'm looking forward to exploring that within the Dakelf language and also in the Shkwatmik language, Shkwatmik Sheen, I believe it's called. And I'm learning this because I've never taken the time to learn the languages, other than I did take introductory to Cree many, many years ago. And so I know far more Cree than I do any of my other Indigenous languages. So I'm super excited about that journey and just being able to pass along the knowledge through music to my grandchildren and to future generations, and to preserve it in song, I think is just such a fun and happy way to do that.
Has it been hard for you learning these languages as an older person, or Did you happen to have like a little bit of introduction as you were growing up as well?
I've had a little bit of introduction to the Kwetli dialect and also to Cree, but I have very, very little of the Shkwamekshin, the Shuswap language. I've heard from my mother that I can't say the most difficult, but it is a very difficult language to learn and retain, and because of the way it's enunciated with different like vocals, like the way your throat and your tongue and your mouth forms and such. So I'm really looking forward to learning that portion of all of this, and to be able to hopefully be able to learn enough, like not only just to write some children's songs, but also to possibly be able to introduce myself when I see elders from these communities, and to be able to have like a tiny little bit of a conversation is also a part of my goal that's woven in there. That's a secret goal right there.
That's really great. It's always feels nice when you're able to connect to people in their own terms, in their own languages, and speaking to them in their own context. It always
Absolutely.
Is nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just knowing that the land and the language and the culture is intertwined, and to be able to understand when there's an elder speaking about telling a story, is you can't, from my understanding, you cannot translate it in English the way it would be told in an indigenous language. There's meaning and emotion that is just not achievable, and so much of that is lost, it just makes me so sad. But at the same time, I'm not gonna let that stop me from doing my best to learn something and to be able to at least find some sort of connection and closeness to my ancestors through having just maybe a, you know, being able to grasp some phrases and be able to speak to an elder, just to be able to say good morning, how are you, just to see them smile and maybe even giggle at me because I'm not saying it right. That's okay.
It's all a learning process, hey?
Right.
I imagine, too, that it must be difficult retaining these languages if there are not that many people who know how to speak them back to.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. In the Kwetli dialect, there's literally a handful of speakers left on the planet, and only a couple of them are fluent speakers. And my grandmother, my late grandmother, Mary Gucci, passed away 2 years ago, and she was one of the language keepers, and she was one of the teachers, and that was a whole encyclopedia lost right there. And she's actually been a part of my inspiration of doing what I'm doing, because as a student, I attended the Nalkin Center in Penticton in the Sioux territory, and that's where I really learned that I needed to create from point of origin and to be authentic with what it is that I'm doing. And I've also learned through being a student at that school that the importance of language and language revitalization and reclamation of culture. And it really it set me on a good path for as being an artist, as a visual artist, as a performing artist. And I've never gone wrong. Like my career has flourished with the work that I'm doing, as not only as a performer, but also as I've earned the role as an elder in training through my nation, and also as an advisor, a consultant to other organizations that look towards decolonization and reconciliation and opening spaces for Indigenous practices. So that's a role that I've stepped into, and all of this has led me to that. And I'm just realizing that. And I'm just, I'm so grateful for all of it.
That's so inspiring.
Thank you.
What are some of your favorite ways to connect with your heritage?
Definitely through drumming and singing. I can't find anything closer to that connection of having my my bare feet on the land or on the stage and picking up my hand drum and singing. It there's something that comes over me, and I have no words to explain what it is, but I just know how I feel, and it's an ancestral connection.
Now, you are set to perform at Cold Snap this coming week. What do you have in planned, or what do you have in store for us?
Well, I'm super excited that it's happening.
Yes.
It was pretty iffy there for a little bit. And so I was delighted to be invited to play, and especially that it's hosted in my traditional territory. So I always feel especially grateful to have that recognition and to be able to share music and culture that's authentic to the land and to the people. And so basically I'm going to share all of my favorites, and I have so guitar songs and drum songs, kind of a fusion of a folk indigenous roots kind of a sound. But I also have Naomi Kavka joining me, and Naomi is
lovely.
She's an incredible musician. We've played many times, we've shared the stage many times, we've done many road trips together, and Naomi is an incredible musician and will be accompanying me on cello and guitar and harmony. So I'm really excited to be able to share the stage with another artist. It's it just adds everything.
It's that connection piece again, musicianship. Hey?
Yeah, and to me it's also what I love about performing with other musicians. And even like with a band, is that, non-Indigenous artists get to learn through my music a different language. They get to drum and sing and chant with me, which is something they may have not otherwise done. So it's so fulfilling in so many ways.
That actually kind of ties right into one of my other questions. I was going to ask, what can people like me who are not Indigenous do to help with the work of preserving culture and language?
That's a great question. And I would say to find William Prince's playlist on Spotify.
Oh.
And have a listen. He's curated a beautiful list of Indigenous artists from across the country, and to be able to go and find the artists that you resonate, whose music resonates with you, and then explore them and find their Facebook page, find their website, Google their names, and find out more about them, and continue to support them, send personal messages through websites, join people's newsletters, and become a part of their tribe. And I think also, if you wanted to, with COVID times, this is super hard to say, but become a part of communities. When there's a powwow, when there's a feast, when there's a potlatch, when there's different activities that happen within Indigenous communities, I think a lot of times people are afraid to drive across the tracks or across the bridge onto a reservation. But, if there's a gas station on a reservation, drive out there and gas up.
Yeah.
Go out there and just be friendly and say hello and get to know the people just by familiarity and seeing friendly faces. And it's, there's like these different ways. Yeah, become an ally in some way. Join, if there's, I'm not a political person, but there's things that I really believe in that I will put my name to, and I will lend my voice to and sing for. And I love seeing our allies in those spaces. So become an ally and stand up and help support Indigenous peoples in the ways that you feel are appropriate and authentic to yourself.
That's great advice. And you said look up William Prince.
William Prince.
All right.
Spotify. Check out his playlist.
That's good. I'm definitely doing that tonight.
Awesome. So So if anybody out there, any of you listeners want to know more about me or check out my music or my art, I've got a few projects on the go. You can see my tour list. You can see my music video. I have a live concert up on my website, and you can check it out, order my album, and share it with your friends. It's just my name, Kim Gucci, K-Y-M, last name Gucci, G-O-U-C-H-I-E.com.
Awesome.
And yeah, and I just wanted to say thank you very much, and Smichelia, or how else do we say it? Here, let me practice this for a second.
Okay.
Okay, so it's Smichelia, Cook's Gem, or Naskumten.
Smichelia?
So, Smichelia, Cook's Gem.
Cook's Gem.
And Naskumten.
Nanasgumten?
Yes. And those are all ways of...
That's wonderful. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for teaching me those words. I'm going to practice those and try and remember them.
You're so welcome. And that's another way that we can help support Indigenous people and artists, is even being able to say thank you in an Indigenous language shows that there's a connection happening.
Mm, definitely.
Excellent beginning to a long friendship.
I think so too.